Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to read the first 13 verses. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord alway, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. May God bless this reading. Let's pray together and ask for His help. Father, we thank you tonight in Jesus' name for the scriptures of truth. We praise you for the epistles that Paul wrote to the churches and this church in particular. And Lord, as we stand before another week and as we come now together to worship your name, give us the ability to worship you in the way we would receive the word, speak to our hearts, speak to our homes, speak to our immediate set of circumstances. Give us a word in season. May it be a word of correction. May it be a word of direction. May it be a word of rebuke. May it be a word of instruction and encouragement. Father, you know the needs that we have, and we pray to be teachable. We pray that our hearts that are often like ground that has become hard and unreceptive, that you would break up that fallow ground, that our hearts would receive the word, and that it might be mixed with faith and bring forth a harvest of spiritual fruit to the praise and the honor of your great name. Lord, we pray for our congregation tonight. You know the needs. You know those who are in particular need. We think of Mark. Father, strengthen him on his road to recovery. Pray that you be his portion. Pray that you bless those who minister down in Haiti tonight. Lord, strengthen that ministry. And we pray especially now for this worship hour that you would draw near. Speak to every heart. Speak to the young and the old. Give us joy in the Lord as we contemplate your truth, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sure you've prayed unto the Lord like this before. Lord, I know what I am supposed to do. The problem that I need, or the thing that I need, is strength to do what I know is right. Well, herein is the battle of Christian living. The struggle is not so much in knowing. The struggle is more often in doing. Implementation is everything. And even the Apostle Paul knew what that struggle was about. Remember over in Romans 7:15, he said, "For what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I." So Paul knew that the gospel was much more than just knowledge. It was implementation of that knowledge. And there were obviously things in Paul's life that he wanted to do, but he struggled with the performance of those things. And therefore, this became a problem. And as we grow in likeness to Christ, and as our minds are renewed in the knowledge of God more and more we begin to think God's thoughts after Him, and we begin to view things more and more as He views them, and therefore we know what is right, we know what is true, we know what is holy, and instinctively by His Spirit we have a desire for these things. Yet because we still inhabit bodies of sin and death, the Spirit is willing. But often our lament is that the flesh is weak. Well, can this problem be addressed? Can we obtain power and strength to do the things that we now desire to do? And some come along and say, yes, there is a plan. Let me give you a plan for Christian living. And often those plans come in steps to do this and that, to overcome certain things. Christian living then is often just a diligent keeping of so many things, so many commandments. And in such cases, the plan is everything. But many have learned by sorry experience that the plan often just exasperates a situation. And you learn that we need much more than just a plan for Christian living. What we need is power. We need enabling power. We need enabling grace to do the things that we now desire to do. And plans without power tend to create Christians that have the appearance of godliness, but as Timothy said, or Paul said to Timothy, they lack the power thereof. And so to imagine then that a man can live for Christ by bare performance, just the doing of certain things, principles, it's really a denial of the depravity of the human heart and also the necessity of Christ's saving power. So can I suggest to you that victorious Christian living, a phrase that's often used, is not about following a plan, but rather it is about following a person. Because the plan itself may be good. The steps may be appropriate, even wise. But what use is a plan if we do not have the power to implement the very thing that is suggested by the plan? And if the gospel fails to give us power to live for Christ, then we can just add it to the pile of discarded Christian self-help courses. Thank God the gospel is not about self-help. The gospel is actually about Christ's help. A Christian self-help really is a contradiction of terms. And if there's any help under the banner of Christ, then it must be help that comes to us from Christ. Remember how the Lord finds us when he comes in saving grace in the first instance without strength? Right, we're powerless. Well, does that change at conversion? Remember what he said in John 15, without me ye can do nothing. So victorious Christian living is only one thing. It's living under the influence of the enabling power of Jesus Christ. And therefore tonight I want to draw attention to a very familiar verse of Scripture, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. My theme tonight is trusting in God's enabling grace. Right? Trusting in God's enabling grace. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notice, first of all, the extent of a Christian's ability. I can do all things. Now, I think back when we were going through the book of Philippians, I gave you a boxing analogy, as you heard this morning, a little different. I'll always remember Philippians 4:13, because that's what Evander Holyfield had on his shorts when he came in to fight Mike Tyson. And there he lay on the canvas 30 seconds later with, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, KO'd. And so that verse obviously was taken out of context, and so many times it's taken out of context. What does it mean when Christ records in his word here through the ministry of Paul, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me? Well, a very literal rendering of the verse reads, I am made strong for all things in the one who constantly infuses strength into me. So what did Paul mean when he said that in the context? I think we could consider it in a few different ways. First of all, I think he had trials in mind. I can endure all trials. In the previous verses, the word all things appears a couple of times. And so Paul says, I can endure all trials. And it mattered not then what Paul's persecutors might put upon him. He felt that by divine grace, by God's enabling grace, that he could bear it. And Paul knew what trials were. I mean, he had already seen several prisons at this stage in his life. And he was well aware of the devices that Nero had created for the tormenting of Christians. And every day he lived with an expectation that it might be his last. He's talked about dying daily. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he gives something of a history of what he was encountering at that time. And he talks there about being in prisons. And he talks about being beaten. And he talks about being lashed. And he talks there about being stoned. And he talks about suffering shipwreck. And he talks about being in journeyings, often long, weary journeyings in perils of waters, and often subject to those who would steal him and harm him, in perils of his own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, in perils and among false brethren, and weariness and painfulness and watchings and hunger and thirst, fastings and cold and nakedness. And so this man endured tremendous trials. And sometime later, he writes these words, then, that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Now, perhaps as you come to church this evening, you feel that the trial that you have before you is more than you have the ability to bear up under. And you feel like you don't have the strength to go on another week. And so as you come to church, you feel something, Lord, I need your strength. Or perhaps you're beyond that and you're saying, Lord, I just can't do it. I just cannot continue on. You're fearful of the future. You're weary. You live with an overwhelming dread of what you might have to endure. And if you think about it long enough, you're sinking under despondency. And yet here's this promise before you that confronts you right in the state that you're in. I can do all things. I can endure all things. And what does that mean then? It means to every one of us that every step of life, during every trial, Christ is able to strengthen His people and to bring you through this triumphantly. I can. Right? I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And so I don't know what trial it is today that you're enduring, but as you grow despondent in that trial, Lord, I can't. Here are words I trust that will encourage you. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Right, and so I think the context is suggestive of not only the enduring of all trials, but the performance of all duties. And if you think of Paul's duties again, at the end of that list of things that he had suffered, he adds this statement in verse 28 of 2 Corinthians 11, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily. That which cometh upon me daily. What is it, the thing that comes upon you daily? Well, here's a man who knew what it was to be stressed out, to be weighed down, to feel like the day had more demands than there was strength to rise to the occasion. And yet, notwithstanding all his feelings of being pressed down, his feelings of inadequacy, he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And so let me ask you, in relation to this 28th verse, those things that cometh upon you daily, what's going to come upon you tomorrow daily? And of course, there's going to be a duty that God has called you to that will become evident by tomorrow morning as God called you to be a father. And let me speak to the fathers of the congregation just for a second, because I feel your pain. I feel the demands that a God-fearing father that he must rise to. And it's a tremendous challenge to be a father after the Spirit of Christ, to lead in the home. It's a tremendous burden. I don't know about you. Sometimes, Lord, this is more than I can handle. It's more than I can do. And yet the Lord says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Of course, every mother will know the same thing and perhaps feels like her duty is greater still. Right, has God given you a couple of little children? Has He given you a flock? Maybe your children have grown from the home. Maybe your demands today, your difficulties today are greater than when they were in the home, because depravity gets bigger and more complex as the years go by, and you're crushed under the weight of caring now, perhaps even for your adult children. Lord, I can't. And this promise comes, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. What about looking after the sick? Has God called you in His providence in this stage in your life to look after sick people? Perhaps looking after elderly parents? Perhaps providence has thrust you out into a new set of circumstances or some new ministry? Or there's something before you and you just feel instinctively, Lord, I don't have the strength. I don't have the ability. I do not have the qualifications. Lord, I can't. Spurgeon once said, there's no work to which a Christian can be called for which he will not be well qualified. When you get to the place to say, Lord, I can't, and then these words become that much more precious. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Right? So I can endure all trials, even trials right now that we think we cannot endure. I can perform all duties, things that right now seem to be more than I can handle. And then there's a third thought here, and that is, I can do all things in terms of the inward battle against sin. Sometimes when you read of Paul and you read of his aspirations toward the advancement of Christ's kingdom, you almost get the sense that he operated on a different plane than the rest of us. And I think in many ways he did. One of the most prominent apostle of the New Testament and a man who knew ministerial success like few, but this was the same man that once wrote these words, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? This man knew about indwelling sin. But this man struggled with the corruption of his own sin nature. This is a man who grieved not only over the sin of other people that he ministered to, but over his own sin. But he did not end his lament and hopelessness as if he could never battle his own corrupt nature. For he goes on immediately to say, but thanks be to God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But we heard much about that this morning. That a Christian cannot be held captive by his sin nature. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Some believers are made to believe that some sins are just too big. They're too big to overcome. Some books are written and handed around the Christian community as if there are certain sins that some people will just never get the victory over. Maybe you've got a wicked temper. Maybe you've got an explosive temper and you've battled that for many years and it's discouraged you so often and you feel, I will never get the victory over this. And maybe it's not anger, maybe it's despondency. Maybe it's alcoholism. Maybe it's drug addiction. Maybe it's addiction to something else. Maybe it is immoral thinking. Maybe it's slothfulness or unbelief or indifference or cynicism or pride. What is this text teaching? What does this text confront you with? I think the truth is that there's no corruption, there is no evil propensity, there's no failing that you cannot overcome through Christ who will strengthen you. There's no temptation to sin from which you cannot overcome through the promise that Christ has given. So we don't need, therefore, to be hopelessly vexed, tortured with improper thoughts or unholy desires, because the one who writes this reminds us, even as Paul wrote to the Corinthians, such were some of you. You remember the thing that is said over back in the book of Joshua regarding the advancement of the Israelites into the land that was theirs by inheritance, but not theirs yet by possession? For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong. So remember this, the Israelites are coming to the promised land, how that's such a great picture of sanctification, because the Lord has given them that land by inheritance, but they had to go fight. And oftentimes when they came into a realm, a region, they faced giants, they faced impregnable walls, they faced things that seemed to be much greater than they had the ability to overcome. But remember, as they went into that promised land, that God gave them the strength to overcome, to be more than conquerors through Him that loved them. I can do all things through Christ. Remember, His name shall be called Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin. So I can endure all trials, I can perform all duties, I can gain victory over the inward sin that causes me to stumble. I guess the most immediate context is this: I can be content in every state. Go back to Philippians 4 and verse 11 and notice the phrases that lead up to the verse before us tonight. Paul says in verse 11, I have learned to be content. And then he gives in verse 12, as several scenarios on either side. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. So he says, I have the ability to be content. I have the ability to be satisfied, whether with little or with much, whether in a situation that looks very pleasing or in a situation that looks positively displeasing. I've learned to be content. Now let me ask you how this verse relates to you as you think of your circumstances. Perhaps you are tempted with the thought that you'll never be content in your present circumstance. Or maybe as you contemplate your marriage, you think to yourself, you know, such are the circumstances of this relationship, I will never, in this side of glory, be content with where I'm at for one reason or another. And Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Paul says, I can be content even if in a situation that leads one to conclude that it's less than an ideal set of circumstances. Maybe it's not in a married state. Maybe it's in a single state. Maybe today you're not married. Perhaps you have no desire. Perhaps you do have a desire. But whatever the case, you look at your circumstances and you conclude, Lord, I could not be content. And the Lord says, through Paul tonight, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. What about in your present career? And not everybody's happy with the job that Providence places them in every day. And you look and you think to yourself, I've got 20, 30 years left and I'm going to have to do the rest of my life doing this thing. I'll never be content, Lord. And Paul reminds us, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. What about your present circumstances? What about dealing with certain types of people? Lord, I just can't. You see, the power of Christ can enable a man to be content even in the most adverse conditions. And the first thing we're noticing here is the extent of a Christian's ability. I can do all things. I can endure all trials. I can perform all duties. I can battle against all sin and be content in all situations. And the question then is, have you lost sight of God's enabling grace? God has promised to enable His people to do what otherwise they could not do. So the extent of a Christian's ability, I can do all things, is the first part of the text. The second part of the text is the source of the Christian's ability. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And the first thing that comes to mind here is that the gospel works. Right? The gospel works. There is power to live a life for Christ. The gospel is not just about a plan, but it is about power. It's about a supernatural power that works in the hearts of His people. I can do all things, not in some optimistic frame of mind, but I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And therefore, we notice here we've got to be very careful of the counterfeits. Paul is not talking about Christianity as mere philosophy. I can do all things as if it's just a way to live or act. Christianity is not a code of conduct. Sometimes Christianity is presented as just a moral set of principles to live by, the golden rule. And therefore sometimes the gospel is presented as positive thinking. And Christianity is not a philosophy. Christianity is a power. Remember how we talked about those that had a form of godliness, but they denied the power of it? And as Paul speaks to the Romans, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. What happens in conversion is a wonderful power enters into the soul of His people. It is the Holy Spirit renewing our wills. And it is power that translates us from death unto life. What is this power? Paul said to the Colossians, it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And make no mistake about it, Christianity is a message of supernatural power. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. The word power is the word of ability. So when Christ enters a soul, He gives them the power, gives them the ability to repent. Right? The reason why any of us repent is that that power has been given in conversion, in regeneration, to turn to the Lord and to enter into self-judgment. There is power to repent because Christ is in His people. There is power to believe. Thank God we're not left just to embrace certain philosophical principles, but there's power to believe, right? He makes us willing and able on the day of His power. There's power to rejoice. How on earth does the Apostle Paul rejoice in prison? Does he just have to muster up strength hopelessly? No, there's power to rejoice because in the gospel comes power, in spite of one's circumstances, to lay hold upon gospel truth. There's power to serve. Do you feel like you're at that place where you're wearying and well-doing and you're running out of strength and you say, Lord, I cannot. Here's the promise. I can do all things through this power that comes through the gospel. Lord, I don't have strength to suffer. There's power to suffer in the gospel. And so this is a godliness not apart from power, but godliness that is the result of power. And the gospel comes to the heart. It comes with power, enabling grace. So Christianity is not a mere philosophy. I can do all things. It's not ultra-disciplined. Sometimes it's presented that way. Right? Very disciplined people make good Christians, and undisciplined people don't make good Christians. As if Christianity is a form of stoicism, or you just have to suck it up and go on and press on. Now, Christianity is much more. It is a power that cleanses, it's a power that conquers, and it's a power that controls. And Paul speaks of it in Galatians, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And so the gospel is about divine strength. It's Christ that strengthens His people. I am made strong for all things in the one who constantly infuses strength into me. Isn't that an encouraging thought? That this is not about me mustering up strength. It's about the strength that comes to me in spite of me and all of my weakness. When we were without strength, without me ye can do nothing, but I am made strong for all things in the one who constantly infuses strength into me. Well, what does that look like in practical terms? Well, I think the way the Lord comes to His people is that He, in the first instance, strengthens faith. God gives faith that is equal to the emergency. Think of how that played itself out in the life of the apostles when they were commanded to go out two by two. Here were men who were not used to public ministry, but lived lives of industry. And now they were commanded to go and to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom of God in a Jewish context with no educational background, no theological training, as it were. And can you imagine, just from a very secular, from a very practical point of view, the fear that they would have had of going and addressing into the synagogues and beginning to speak to those who were renowned in their religious understanding. And to them Christ said, "But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak." Put yourself back in the disciples' place. Can you not imagine them saying, "Lord, I could never. I could never. I could never speak that. I could never endure that." And yet those disciples went, and as they went, God provided their need, and the Lord gave them strength of faith to go on. Faith that was equal to the emergency. You and I are facing emergencies every day. And yet God gives faith. He is the author. He's the finisher. Sometimes that faith is just laying hold upon His atoning work. Sometimes that's faith just to lay hold upon the promise. If we confess our sin, He'll cleanse us from our sin and all unrighteousness. But He gives faith. And thereby are we enabled to do all things, because He continues to give His church faith. And alongside of faith then comes resolve. Can we describe that as a firmness of mind? Not unlike what Paul said just in the chapter before, Philippians 3. "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Something in Paul gave him the motivation to keep on pressing on. Resolve. Firmness of mind. Can you not imagine Paul sometimes just thinking in his mind it would be so much easier just to slip over onto Cyprus and continue on tent making rather than that firmness of mind, that resolve to press on? Where does that come from? That's the way the Lord works. He strengthens the faith of His people, and He strengthens the resolve of His people, but He also strengthens the heart of His people. And the heart is a very tender thing. Remember what Solomon said, "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can heal?" Right? It's one thing to have a weak body, but when you lose heart, when you become wounded in your spirit, that is an incredibly difficult thing to face. But the Lord even comes along to strengthen the heart of His people. "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart." Wait, I say, on the Lord. I can do all things. He strengthens the faith of His people. He strengthens the resolve of His people. He strengthens the heart of His people. And He strengthens the mind of His people. And by mind, I'm talking primarily here about sober judgment and wisdom and prudence, composure. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." How does the Lord work in your life as you contemplate the challenges and the situations? He gives you the ability to have sober judgment and to think rightly and to process and to discern. And in that very thing, He gives you strength. And so He draws alongside as you process life, and He strengthens your faith and your resolve and your heart and your mind. I love the way Kenneth West puts it. He says, "I am made strong for all things in the one who constantly infuses strength into me." That's the power that I need. That's the power that you need. This is the power that's in Christ. Well, the question is, how do I get that power? How do I get my faith strengthened, my resolve strengthened, my heart and my mind? I think we have to get to the source. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Remember John 15, the Lord said that we are to abide in Him. Does it mean to abide in the Lord? I think it means, in the first instance, we have to abide in His Word. It's through His Word that the Spirit of God strengthens. And what Daniel said, "When He had spoken unto me, I was strengthened." Child of God, you know the strengthening power of God's Word. I mean, just a simple word in the morning a devotional that you read, that the Lord just opens your eyes and you see something, some nugget of truth, and all of a sudden there is strength in your soul that gives you the ability to live, if nothing more, but another day. Gives you strength through those morning hours, the same way Elijah, when he came to the complete end of himself, he's praying, Lord, take away my life. The angel of the Lord draws near. He touches him. He awakes him. He provides sustenance. And he just tells him this, the journey is too great for you. And my, when the Lord's word is opened and that word is applied by the Spirit, it strengthens God's people. Can I just encourage you again to make it a habit in your life to feast upon some portion of truth every single day. Don't be overwhelmed by thinking you have to read 8 chapters, because sometimes when you can't read 8 chapters, people don't read any chapters, or they get behind and they get filled with guilt. Make it a priority in your life to feast upon some portion of truth every day, even if it's a small portion of truth, because it's as you're in the Word that the Lord strengthens the faith, the heart, the resolve, and the mind of His people. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. How does He strengthen? He strengthens through His Word. Not only are we to abide in His Word, but we must learn to abide in His presence, in communion. Communing with the Lord, think of how the situations in life, I think, are designed by God's providence to bring you into communion that otherwise you may not enter into. Psalm 138 reminds us, in the day when I cried, Thou answerest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. Now, why on earth would the psalmist be crying except he was in some predicament? Isn't it a wonderful thing that in the providence of God, He brings predicaments into your life and mine so that you and I would cry unto Him, that He in turn would answer. And as He answers, we would find strength in our soul, the result of being in communion with Him. And so the source of this strength is Christ, but He works through His Word, and He works as we are in communion with Him in the place of prayer. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And even as you make then an attempt to be in the Word every day and to take some portion of the Word every day, be in the same habit to commune with Christ every day at some time in that day. And seek to take up the fragments of the day. Think of the fragments of your day. I mean, you've got blocks of time when you are completely taken up with whatever it is you're doing. Sitting at the computer, you're working, whatever your job is, there is a time when you can think about nothing else except the thing that's before you. But you know, as well as I, that there are fragments in that day. Time when you're driving, time when you're moving from one thing. Take those fragments up and turn those fragments into seasons of sweet communion and find the reality, as Paul found, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me as I abide not only in His Word but in His presence. And as you abide in His Word and in His presence, you're going to find yourself also abiding in His love. And remember then the prayer that Paul had for the Ephesians, that they would be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Isn't that what you need? Strengthened with might by God's Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you may be rooted and grounded in love. Here's stability. That you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. As you dwell under the love of God, there is a stabilizing influence in your life. As you contemplate His love for you, the unconditional nature of that love for you, you will find yourself strengthened. You will find that you have all strength for all things from an all-sufficient Lord. Right, and so as you seek to live for Him, you'll find yourself strengthened by being in His Word, by being in His presence, and by just dwelling under the reality of His Word that He loves. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not also with Him freely give us all things? So let's learn this evening then the extent of our strength or ability. I can do all things. Paul could bear any trial. He could perform any duty. He could subdue any evil. He could be content in any situation. And more importantly, learn the source of the strength. It's through Christ who does this strengthening work. This is not a declaration of self-reliance. It's not strength that he claimed to have as a natural trait through any rigor of mind or body. This was not a strength or power that he had on his own. It was strength derived from the living Christ. And therefore, there is enabling power in Christ to do what he calls us to do. But are you trusting in God's enabling grace? Are you trusting that in the hour of need, that your God will be for you a very present help? He says in Isaiah 41:10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." What a fearful thing it would be if Christianity was just a message of ultra discipline, a message where you and I had to find strength that by experience we never find. The Lord is able to give us enabling grace for whatever it is tomorrow demands of us. I can do all things through Christ who constantly infuses strength in me. May the Lord help us to abide in His Word. May God help us to abide in His presence. May God help us to abide in His love. And as we go on, we'll be able to sing of the reality that God strengthens those who wait upon Him. Be of good courage. He will strengthen your heart. Let's pray. Father, we wait before You now at the close of the service in the weakness that we've often experienced and many times lamented. And, oh God, there is within us a feeling of total inadequacy. There is a feeling within us of fear. There is a feeling, Lord, at times of being overwhelmed that we cannot cope. We cannot endure. We cannot serve. We cannot perform. But, oh Lord, I ask that You would teach us then not of some humanistic optimism, but that we would be able to say to the praise of the glory of Your grace that I can. I can do all things, and to realize that the source of all of this comes from You. I can do all things through Christ, which constantly infuses strength into me. Lord, I pray that through the Word tonight that You would infuse strength into some weak soul. I pray that You would give some soul struggling with circumstance the ability to face tomorrow with a firmness of mind, with a resolve that, Lord, You are for us and that we're dwelling in Your love. And I pray that You would give us greater consistency to abide in Your Word and to abide in Your presence. Help us to gather up the fragments of the day to spend time with You, Lord, that we would find strength in the soul. Father, I pray for those who are going on, that You would use them in the lives of others to help them to be strong. And for those who are particularly vulnerable, oh God, come as they stand before their Goliaths, as they stand before their Jerichos, walls that seem impregnable, would You break down those walls as they seek You and love You by faith. And oh God, would they cause them to see those walls coming down, that they may go forward and realize, Lord, that You will give strength. So go before us tonight, take this Word, and the Word we heard this morning and in the Sunday school hour, and seal it to our minds and cause it to bear fruit in our lives. So we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.